Welcome back to Boldly Though, the only Star Trek podcast apparently hosted by a couple of Irish cartoons. I'm Science Officer Kelly.
I'm Security Officer Karen.
Short top of the morning to you.
Yes, top of the morning to you.
Faith in Begora. Stupid. Happy birthday week, Mom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope it was a good one.
It's been pretty good, yep.
Your day-to-day sounded chaotic, but hey, what are you going to do?
Well, you can't help that, yeah. I got the taxes done. I got some CPE going.
Yay.
I had a really good dinner.
Nice.
At a really good restaurant.
And then you watched a really good episode of Star Trek,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Right? I stopped the week with, the week with Kelly, I can't even describe it. I'm in heaven, you know? I'm speechless. I got my hands way up in the air, Kelly. You can't see me.
The emotional power, the science fiction storytelling present in this episode that fucking sucks. We are watching TNG season 2, episode 18.
You know, I have to insist that we don't do this again. My birthday week, we do not watch a shitty episode of Star Trek. We'll watch something else.
Okay. I will try to keep that in mind and hope that my memory about episodes are good, and we will try to do that for you.
Yeah. We have to hearken back.
Yeah, time out.
To like one long time ago.
We're watching The Wire again. We're watching City on the Edge of Forever again. This week we watched Up the Long Ladder.
Which makes no fucking sense.
Well, I think it's actually not the worst title you could have.
Okay. Otherwise, it would have been just been top of the morning to you.
No, we'll talk about it at the end, but I will say the phrase up the long ladder is taken from an Irish rhyme.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And also,
not being Irish.
When you think about it, you know what's a long ladder? DNA.
Oh.
It's actually a pretty okay pun, I think. It's not the best thing about this episode, because there is a very concrete best thing about this episode, I think. Don't worry, we'll get it over with in the first 10 minutes.
Okay, hang on. Best. Let me write this down. I don't want to forget. Best thing about this episode. Best.
I think you'll agree with me.
All right, just one.
Oh, there is a baby goat in it. That was pretty good.
Was that the pregnant lady? Holding the baby goat.
Yeah, because she couldn't hold a baby yet. That part was stupid, but if you just look at a baby goat, that's pretty good.
Didn't I do that recently? I sent it to you guys.
You did.
Mom, get a goat.
You did. All right, let's get into this episode. Don't worry.
We're all getting goats.
Nothing happens. That'd be nice.
I have a goat. I've named it Worf.
Hey, is your goat Worf sick?
What is the point of that?
I don't know, but it's the best part of the episode.
Oh my god.
So it's a normal day on the Enterprise, except Worf is fucking freaking out about something and one asks him about
it. He's growling.
He's
breathing hard.
He's leaning over. No one's like, hey Worf, are you okay? They're just like, he's always doing this. So no one talks to him. Picard is not on the bridge because he's in his ready room, and he calls Riker in. He's like, hey, get over here.
Number one, will you join me in the ready room?
It's like, okay. And this is around this is where we're seeing Worf freak out as ominous music plays. But we go into the ready room. This is not an episode about Worf. And
no, it's really not.
No. Turns out Picard has gotten a message from Admiral Moore.
About a distress beacon.
And it's a little beepy noise. And Riker's like, oh, that's a distress call. And he's
like, sounds like SOS.
He's like, good job, number one. You're smarter than stupid Admiral Moore and all his computers that took a long time to tell us that.
It took him hours.
But anyway, this is a really old code from Earth. But it is coming from a place in space where there is no records of humans ever trying to start a colony there.
Huh. So let's look into that.
So it's a real space mystery. So they do some Wikipedia reading right now.
And this distress signal started last month in the Ficus sector. It's been centuries since that code was used.
Right. And they end up like doing some Googling, and it turns out it was a code used by the European hegemon back in the early...
I'm naming my goat Hegemon.
It's my favorite Digimon. In fact, I believe it was hegemony, which is a word I am not always certain how to pronounce, but I think I did okay. It was used for like a very short period of time. I guess the European hegemony didn't last that long. It was like a post-World War III.
I liked hegemon.
I think hegemon is who's in charge of a hegemony.
Okay. Is that like an anemone?
It's anemone? Like a sea anemone. What if Europe was a big anemone? But it was used for like less than 100 years.
Yeah, 2123 to 2190.
Yes.
You know, so, it's a number. I had to write it down.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I know how this works. I just wrote down the one number. I'm like, I bet mom has both. So they like search. They're like, who went into space at that time trying to start a colony? And there were no boats that were going to the Ficus system.
Well, we better go see if we can find out who they are.
I'm like, well, we know where it came from, so let's go over there. They need help or something.
Yeah, we're going to the Ficus sector.
Yes, and then they go back onto the bridge, and guess what? Worf collapsed off screen. He's fucking dying.
What happened? Oh, he just collapsed, sir.
He like just did it. We weren't really Dr. Pulaski,
we have a medical emergency on the bridge, please.
Yeah. Thanks for the hustle, Data.
And then we cue the music.
Yep. Oh, what a cold open. We come back.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time. It's like, oh, we're looking at this. So they're flipping a monitor back and forth at each other. It's very boring and stupid.
The little pivot.
Yeah. So we come back. It's Captain's Log, Stardate 42823.2.
They're heading for the Ficus sector.
Yeah, they're going to look for a mysterious distress signal. Oh, no, Worf is in sick bay.
Yeah. And then we go to sick bay, and Pulaski's like, hey, you fainted. And Worf's like, Klingons don't fucking faint. Ah! And she's like, okay. And then she tells what happens, and basically he fainted.
Yeah, she says it without using that word. Right. And then she says, but I'm really concerned because Klingons don't faint. He's like, argh.
But she like scans him, and she's like, you're sick. And he's like, Klingons don't give in to illness. And she's like, how about you lay the fuck down and give me 2 more seconds?
Well, he's got Rapnorg.
Right. She says it. I didn't write it down, but it's like, it turns out it's a baby disease. It's like, a disease babies get.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, the humiliation.
He's like, I gotta go fling myself into space. I gotta quit my job. This is so embarrassing. And she's like, who gives a shit? We can fix it. And he's like, well, how do you think Riker would feel if he got measles? And she says, pretty silly. And I'm like, why would you feel silly about that? So you got sick. Does it mean you didn't get your Klingon vaccines? Or
oh, like, no, I would never pay Worf as an anti-vaxxer.
Well, if he's the child, you know, that means his dead parents were anti-vaxxers. Klingons don't give in to illness. Maybe they don't do vaccines. In which case, you're getting baby illnesses all the time.
Yeah, that should happen. You're lucky it took this long.
Yeah, it's just like, why? Riker would not feel silly if he got measles. He'd be like, that's weird.
So yeah, ring, 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 ring. Picard wants to know how he's doing. And he says,
hey, is Worf fucking dead?
No, he's out of danger. Did he die in there? He was fasting. He was doing a Klingon ritual. And he forgot he had to not, you know, work so hard if he was not taking in so many calories. And she crosses her fingers like, I'm lying to the captain.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go, lying.
Well, that's pretty stupid. He should be Pulaski out. Yeah. And Worf's like, thank you for defending my honor. And she's like, no problem. Patient, doctor, confidentiality.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, number one. That's, I don't mean Riker. I mean, yeah, you can't. You stop should being be able nosy. To keep a secret. You don't,
yeah, he's alive. He'll be back up there in a minute. Meanwhile, Data has just been like sitting quietly thinking by himself. This is the only thing he does in this episode. He comes in and he's like, hey. Did you look at ship manifests? And Picard's like, good idea.
Someone had to load that ship.
Yeah, and so he searches the manifests, and he's like, oh, this ship, the Mariposa, was headed for the Ficus sector. And I'm like, how is the shit on the ship headed for the Ficus sector, but not the ship itself? Like, why wouldn't... I guess, were they looking for colony ships specifically? And this was just like... I don't know how this works. It feels like a real time filler, but they find the ship. It's the Mariposa.
Well, I have to tell you that this is Bill's birthday in 2123. How old will he be?
I don't know. Old. Probably not alive.
1127.
No to Bill. There's also a part in this scene where Picard's like looking at the manifest. He's like, computers and spinning wheels. And Data's like, what the fuck's a spinning wheel?
And then he looks at it and he starts talking about it.
He's like looking it up in his brain and he starts repeating it out loud. And Picard is talking to himself and you can't understand either of these motherfuckers. And I guess it's supposed to be funny, but it is not. And Picard's finally like, how about you shut the fuck up, Data? And Data's like, okay, maybe they were planning for the worst. Why is this ship's stuff so confusing? Why would you have a spinning wheel and a computer?
And I'm like, sheep and pigs and cattle.
Heaven forbid someone have a hobby. Jesus. So then this is the best part of the episode, I think.
Oh, okay.
So Worf comes back and he's like, I wanted to thank you for covering for me and not telling everyone I got a baby disease.
And he's got the tray with the tea and everything else. And she's like, oh, you want to share the Klingon ceremony with me? That's the
Klingon
great.
Tea ceremony. She is psyched. She like brings over a table. They do not sit down.
Yeah, she knows exactly what all the accoutrements are and what she needs to do.
Yeah, she like lays it out. He's like, oh, you know about it. She's like, I've read about it, but like I've never seen it done. I don't know.
I don't understand the mystery, but I understand the something.
Like mechanics.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't drink the tea.
Do not drink it.
Die.
Yeah, don't drink it.
It'll kill a human. And she's like, well, it's not good for Klingons either. She's like, I've never quite, it makes you feel bad. And he's like, oh, it's like, it's a reminder that you know, death is best shared as are victories. And she's like, that rules. And then she goes, hold on. And she runs off and yep. She doses herself with antidote so she can drink the tea. She's like, if it's best shared, we're going to share it.
She says, if we're going to share, we're going to share. Let's share.
And he mentions, you know, when he says the thing about it best being shared, she's so, like, oh, you're a romantic.
Yeah. Something about poetry too. Klingon poetry.
He says that love poetry finds its highest form in Klingon. And so after they drink the tea, she's like, how about some of that poetry also? And it's a cute scene. Like, it's really fun.
And it doesn't belong in this episode at all.
I mean,
unless we're done. We're done. Okay. That was a great episode, Kelly. All right. We'll see you next week.
We do always applaud at the end of our podcast. We just clap for each other. No, I think I think it's supposed to be a counterpoint to how we see two cultures intermingle later down the road. But it feels, one, it takes forever to get to that part also.
Yeah.
Like, the pacing is real off on this episode. And, like, if this were woven throughout, it might be a stronger, like, parallel to what's happening. Or, like, again, a counterpoint. Because, like, this goes great. They both have a great time. They drink the tea. It's a really fun moment. Yeah. But it's over. We're like 10 minutes in and it's over. Don't worry. We got like 30 more minutes in the middle. And then there's going to be 4 minutes at the end of conflict about something else. So we get to the system that the distress signal was coming from. And there's been a sun flare. That's what's causing the problems.
Yeah, there's severe flare activity. That must be what triggered the beacon.
Right. And they scan a planet.
And fifth one in.
And there are people living underground.
And I said, the sun looks pretty cool. Kelly, you should tweet that. The sun looks really cool. It's going to kill you, but it looks good.
I didn't notice. I'll see if I can find it.
So yeah, they're already living 30 meters below the surface, which is weird.
Right. And they're like, we can beam them up like in between the flares because we don't want to get damaged. So we'd have to shut our shields off. And
but we also, no one's talking to us. And there doesn't appear to be any communication network. And there's, you know what? There's no power source at all down there.
Right. Weird. And then Deanna's like, you can't just start fucking beaming people up. They'll have heart attacks. They'll get scared and die. And then so Picard's like, fine, I guess beam Riker down.
Well, and then we've only got 3.6 hours. Because then the solar flares are going to begin to brush the planet. Whatever that means.
This never comes up again. We have no problems after... Well, we don't have sun problems.
Yeah, these people have been isolated for 300 years. Number one, you're going to have to go down. On my way.
All right.
Captain's log, stardate 42827.3.
He did it. He went down there.
Yeah, there's 200 people. They're in surprisingly good shape.
Yeah, so Riker is called back, and he is reporting, and Picard's like, great, great, 200 people. Shut the fuck up and get them up here.
Yeah, are they ready to leave? Yes, well. But.
Yeah, he's like, except,
get them out of there.
And Picard's like, shut up.
We'll deal with whatever the problem is up here.
Shut up. Riker, shut up.
Okay, I'm shutting up.
All right, you fucking asked for it. And then, yeah. O'Brien is in the... the room. O'Brien room. Is doing the beaming. He beams them up. They have one. The Irish music starts immediately. It's fucking doodly 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 doo. It's crazy. They have goats and chickens and pigs, and they are cartoons. Cartoons. If Ireland was a world in the World Showcase, they would not have the people who work there dress like this, because they'd be like, that's a little offensive. Which is not to say they have offensive costumes at the World Showcase. I'm just saying.
And the long mutton chop sideburns and little hats and everything.
Yeah.
They're leprechauns in here. They're just not in green.
Yeah. And then you think, or at least I thought, of the episode at the beginning of Deep Space Nine where, like, people's nightmares were coming, or dreams. Those aliens showed up and, like, O'Brien had fucking problems with Rumpelstiltskin. Do you remember that episode?
No. That sounds scary, though. I hate Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, you might hate him because of this episode. I don't know. But, like, they were taking the shape of whatever was in their mind, and he had read Rumpelstiltskin to his kid. And then when you hear about that episode, you hear that they wanted to make it a leprechaun, and Cole Meany was like, no. Absolutely not. And I wondered if he thought of Up the Long Ladder when he put his foot down.
I'm sure he did.
Over that. It's like, no, fucking no. But yeah, so it's aggressively Irish music. It's livestock.
And Danilo Odell is there.
Yeah, I'm just going to call him Odell. He's their leader. He is pleased to hear that this guy's name is O'Brien. He's like, I knew a good Irish man would come save us. And he immediately offers him alcohol.
Yeah, he's got his flask, right? Yeah.
And O'Brien's like, I am at work. And Picard is pissed. He's pissed about this. And it's like, my dude, Riker tried to tell you, and you told him to Many shut times. Up 12 times in a row.
Yep.
And he's just like, what the fuck?
Beam all of this and all the rest of the refugees to Cargo Bay 7.
Yeah, he is furious. And Odell's like, excuse me, real fast.
Also, you must Worf have some coin, here. Right?
Yeah, he's like, you must own this ship. And he's like, I fly it, I run it, I don't own it. And he's like, okay, I haven't talked to anyone other than the people I live with for hundreds of years. Are you married? And Picard's like, I will kill you right here.
I have a daughter. Salutations. He's
like, you want to marry my daughter? And Picard's like, no. And then Worf
finally steps in, because he's already afraid of Worf, and Worf steps in. He goes, yep, he said no. I heard him. Yep, nope.
I mean, honestly, this dude, he never met a Klingon before. He's just like, well, you're a little scary, but you're not that bad. Yes. So then we have, like, a brief meeting about these guys suck.
There's 223 of them, plus two more in the next few days.
Yep. Pulaski's like, two of them are fucking pregnant. It's like, great, good.
Ring, ring, fire in Cargo Bay 7.
Yeah, they set a fire. They're the Bring Lloydy.
Yep, and they named them that because of the place they came from. Because I went, okay. Who the hell named them? But then they call it the Bring Lloydy system later.
Okay, well, that's nice. But yes, there's a fire in the cargo hold, and it was a cook fire, it turns out. Because Picard's like, oh, I didn't know no one told you how to use the replicators. It's like, yeah, you idiot. You have to tell them how to eat food. Like, they don't have computers. They're not on your ship.
Yeah. It says Brenner reads him the riot act, and he's like, definitely not Picard. My apologies.
Yeah. So we meet Odell's daughter, Brenna. She's also a cartoon, and
red hair. And she got green eyes?
No, not quite.
She's perfect Irish woman. And she says, and what are you staring at? Have you never seen a woman before?
Yeah.
And Riker says, I thought I had.
Yeah, everyone is instantly attracted to her, and she hates everyone's guts. And she's just like, fuck you, fuck my dad, fuck this place, fuck your let me set a fucking fire or teach me how to get fucking food. Men don't work. They just drink. I hate everyone. Stomp, stomp, stomp.
That's pretty accurate, Kelly.
But in an accent. And Picard starts laughing, at least.
Well, she walks off and she says, Dado! She calls her dad really loud.
Yeah. And Picard's just like, Riker's like, oh my God, I didn't expect you to be laughing. He's like, sometimes you gotta give into the absurd. What a stupid day I'm having, says Captain Picard.
I would have never thought he would laugh at this either, but yeah, he
does. Right. This is better. It's like he's getting slightly more flexible. Just like, I see stupid shit every goddamn day of my life out in space. I thought it would be more dignified than it is, but it's not.
Well, I think it is because he found her attractive is the reason he backed down. Otherwise, you know, right. My apologies.
Yeah, if he was just like...
Because he stammered over all of that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, they're all instantly attracted to her. And then they go to leave, and Riker's like, oh, I think I'm going to help her, actually.
I think I'm going to stay behind and help her. And Picard's and then, of course, like... what does she want?
She... Oh, my. This is so... She's like, hey, is there a place around here a lady can wash her feet?
And apparently that is a invitation to fuck me.
And guess what? It's presented as that.
Yeah.
They are flirting via foot washing.
And I'm sorry, I've been without a noob guy for 300 years, so you're it? Tag, you're it? I mean, this is all very sudden.
I mean...
I guess she's kind of aggressive. He's not. Not that he's not, but...
Yeah, Riker is clearly putting out I'm receptive vibes. He is handsome. He does offer to help her, which apparently is a thing no one here does.
Yeah, he says you don't really need to do that. You know, the ship will clean itself.
She's like, oh, great.
Sure. Nice to hear. Bloody ship. Yeah. Good for the bloody ship.
Yeah. She should fucking throw straw at him or something. Like, she's nuts. They're all nuts. Odell.
Picard and Worf are walking away.
Yeah, Picard is walking away.
She's not unlike a Klingon woman.
Whatever, Worf. But before Picard can leave the orbit of the Bringloidy, the Odell comes back and he's like, hey, quick question. And Picard's like, I'm going to fucking die. And he goes, have you heard from the other colony? And the music's like, dun, dun, dun.
And he goes, the other colony.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm sure the Captain's Log there. Supplemental. M-class planet only half a light year from the Bringloidy system.
Right. So I guess they're not having solar flares. I guess that's why that's not a problem.
And then I have William and Brenna Fuck.
But yeah.
You can work us up to that.
No, you're basically there. They get back to his quarters and she's like, you've shown me all over the ship. She's also like wearing a crocheted bikini and a long skirt at this point. And she's like, I still haven't fucking washed my feet. And he's like, you can go in there. And I'm like, you got to tell her it's a sonic shower and she's just going to get blasted with sound waves. Like that's.
Yeah, right behind that door.
Yeah. She's going to have a heart attack. You're going to do it. That's scary.
And she says, what does she say then?
She's like, she says, come help me.
William, do you not like girls then?
That's right. You don't want to wash my feet. What are you, gay? and he says, no, I like girls.
He says, of course I like girls. Why? You know, how does this feet washing work? She says, well, generally you start at the top and work your way down. And he says, oh, I think I can handle that. She said, I hoped you might.
Yeah, so they go fuck in the sonic shower, I guess. I don't. It's really weird. I did write it down, but I did forget that she accuses him of being gay.
Do you not like girls?
Because she's like, he's like, go take, you want to go.
It's behind the door.
Yeah. You want to close the door? I'll play the trombone for you. But no, they have sex instead. Boy,
we assume. Thank God they didn't make us watch.
You know, I don't know if TNG's ever going to make us watch. I think the most you get is this, or waking up in bed together, maybe.
Well, I just can't believe they're both, like, this horny, you know?
You can't believe Riker is this horny?
He knows nothing about her. I guess she's a human woman. It's about all you know. You
can't believe Riker is this horny? As long as nothing's dangerous, this is his basic level.
Okay, I have a question later. We'll get to my question later. Okay. I have a question. Don't let me forget. I have a question.
All right, I'll try not to.
I'll write it down. I have a question.
I'm now open to questions.
Yeah, all right. I'll write
it down. Then there's a scene where Worf goes down to the cargo hold where they're making all these people stay and sleep on the fucking floor, I guess. I don't know. They brought their own straw. And Odell wants to, like... He offers Worf, like, some homebrewed liquor, and Worf's
he says, we're trying to set up a still. He doesn't call it that. He says, but, you know, we need to heat it without your bloody roof sending lightning bolts.
Right.
You know, how computer do we do that?
The ship did turn off the fire, and there was a bit where Odell's like, if I had been caught under that thing, would I have died?
And Worf, like, immediately says, well, you would have been standing in the fire.
And he's like, you're ignoring my question. Would I have died?
He said, but yeah, if I was standing in the fire, you'd be dead.
You'd be dead, because it takes all the oxygen
You'd have
out.
Suffocated, and you'd be dead.
Yeah.
I think I'd be sitting up my still, too. But yeah, we still need to heat it.
They are so rude to these Irish cartoons who truly pretty good natured, just have curious questions.
Yeah, for being by themselves for 300 years and being on their own. They're doing great.
Bren is mad, but she's the only one. And so they're like, yeah, we want alcohol. And Worf's like, the computer can get you alcohol.
Oh, I don't want that synthale that Miles O'Brien already gave me.
Blech. Yeah, I have, I have excommunicated Miles O'Brien from being Irish for a scene we didn't get to see. And Worf's like, no, you can have real alcohol. And he calls it up, and Odell's like, this sucks, boo. No,
he says, whiskey. And then he tastes it. He says, this is terrible. It has no bite.
And so Worf calls up some Klingon drink that I don't know what it is. And this man has a cartoon reaction to it. Yeah, he is like Roger Rabbit drinking alcohol. He doesn't turn into a steam whistle, but he might as well. Mm-hmm. And then Brenna shows up and fucking screams at him.
Now that's what I call the days of creation. The dog, something.
Who knows? Who cares what this man has to say? But yeah, Brenna shows up and is like, oh, you're fucking drinking again, huh? You cartoon.
Are you like, drunk yet?
And he's like, yes. And she's like, you don't do shit. I hate your ass. And he's like, yes. And I don't remember how that scene ends, because who cares?
She wants him to go talk to Pulaski, because Pulaski wants their children to attend school with the other kids. And she says, he says, what do you think? She says, I think it's a good idea. So go handle it. She tells Worf, thank you so much for making sure the men knew that the magic wall would give them more than meat and potatoes. And he says, have you ever considered a career in security? And she says, if it's anything like babysitting, I'm an authority. And all the women start laughing. So yeah, Worf leaves.
Great. We're having a great time here on the Enterprise. So they find the other colony that's called Mariposa now ship.
Captain's Log Supplemental, we're approaching an M-class planet. They're there.
Right. And they speak to the Prime Minister, who shares the same last name as one of the dude, like the captain of the previous ship. And they're like, wow, that's the name of the captain of the ship. They're like, oh, I guess he's a descendant.
Not quite.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, close. And they're like, cool, good enough for me.
We're not sure why, you know, we were worried about y'all being late. We assumed there was a horrible catastrophe on Earth. Well, we're sorry. Your paperwork got lost in bureaucracy.
Yeah, it was just a bad time for Earth, and you got lost in the shuffle. And he's like, okay.
And Deanna says, be careful, he's hiding something.
So Riker, Worf, and Pulaski go down to the planet, and they are met by the Minister of Health, who looks exactly like the Prime Minister. Twins? And Riker and Worf are like, yeah, twins? And then they walk around seeing more groups of identical people. Triplets? And they're like, quadruplets? Quintuplets? Yeah. Decaduplets? They look like the stupidest men alive.
So while Pulaski's waiting for them to catch up, she scans one of the gentlemen.
She takes a surreptitious scan, and then when they meet the Prime Minister, she goes, quick question, are all of you clones? And Worf and Riker like fucking high five and drop their jaws. And like, what? And he says, yeah, basically. And he explains that the ship got damaged while landing, and there were only 5 survivors.
Two women and 3 men.
Giving up and dying, you know, living your life out, you know, not dying immediately, but being like, well, this colony is a bust. That's not happening. They decided to clone themselves forever.
But now they're running into problems.
But yeah, now they're running into, they call it, gosh, what did they call it?
Replicative
fade.
Yeah.
Their chromosomes are degrading. They spend too many minutes on being like, but how do you get over the fact that you want to fuck? You gotta want to fuck, right? And now you can't? And it's like, well, one, I bet you could fuck your clone and that wouldn't be a problem. That's a classic thought experiment. But they're like, we made ourselves sex repulsed, actually. Sex? Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never fuck my clone, they all yell at once, even though you got lots of opportunities.
We need an infusion of fresh DNA.
Yeah, how about you give us DNA to put in the system?
And of course, Riker's like, no way, not me.
Yeah, Riker throws this man out the window. He's like, it's my body, fuck off, no.
One William Riker is unique. Several of me diminishes me in ways I can't even imagine.
Yeah, this is a odd argument, and it is, and I mean, obviously they did not know this going in, but it is especially funny because of everyone on this show, only one man has an exact copy of himself out there in the world. And guess what? It's William T. Riker. That was a transporter accident, but still, he doesn't know about that yet. That won't be for a long time. But much like Boimler got doubled, much like Riker before him, Riker has been diminished in ways he can't even know.
And this guy's like, you know, but how would it harm you? You know, we need to reproduce. We have a way of doing that. We have children.
Yeah, you can make a baby. You gotta have sex and make a baby. And this guy's like, I'm gonna vomit real quick.
Okay, well, can you at least come and repair our equipment? Of course we will.
There's a thing where he, like, looks at Pulaski and she shakes her head. And Picard's like, I think you'll find everyone on this ship's gonna say fuck you. And it's like, can we ask? And they're like, no.
I know. They looked at William. He shook his head. They looked at Picard. He shook his head. They looked at Pulaski. She shook her head. Yeah, they should have taken a poll. If they don't need more than two people... Somebody on board probably would have been happy to give them
Who gives a shit? Yeah. Here's my hairbrush.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck difference does it make?
Yeah, just, you know, no pressure. The captain has already said he thinks no. No pressure if you don't want it. But if anyone wants to donate DNA to these guys, go for it.
And I wanted to stop you there. Would you have cared?
Would I have cared? I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, we're just stopping by here. We know we'll never see them again. We're leaving again. Who cares?
I mean, I guess my thought at this point is that they are no longer going to be as isolated as they are. Because it's like, well, hopefully we've made contact. We're not going to leave you alone forever again.
Well, you know that's not true.
Well, turns out that's not true. Turns out we're never coming back here
again. That's right. We're never coming back. So what could it possibly matter?
I think I would just make them, like, agree that if at any point a clone of me is like, fuck you, I want to leave, they have to let them leave.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I would rather give them my DNA than take part in the eventual solution, which is, to me, a nightmare.
Repugnant.
Yeah, you want to talk about fucking repugnant? Ugh. I mean, have fun, everybody, I guess, but Jesus.
No, gosh. Thank you. No, that's Kelly in the corner. No, thank you. No, thank you.
The cheeriness with which they present this. It's just like, this is normal.
And Kelly's like, wait, now let's take a poll of everyone in the room.
I want to leave.
I'm going to that space station and I will go live where I want. Thank you. Yeah. I will do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 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 I'll figure it out. I'm going to go live at Deep Space Nine, you guys. Bye. So yes, they're like, can you please at least come fix our computers? They're like, yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, we're going to send down like 17 people to do that. Because what could possibly go wrong?
I feel like part of the thing here is they're like, you won't give us your fucking DNA. Plasky's like, that won't fix your fucking problem. It's still going to happen. You're still going to, the degradation's still going to happen.
Yeah. Captain's Log Supplemental, Riker, Pulaski, and some technicians, including Geordi, all beam down to go fix this equipment.
Yep. And Riker and Pulaski end up in the Prime Minister's office, and they get zapped and dragged away.
Yes, he makes, whoops. He has his hands together on his desk, and he bangs them on the desk, and then his security officer, which I think is a woman, stuns them both, and they're drug away.
Yep.
And then Geordi begins looking for them.
Yeah, Geordi's like, hey, are my guys here? And the guy's like, no, I haven't seen them. And Geordi's like, okay.
Well, I guess I'll just have to go look for them myself.
That's weird. Do you have an intercom that I could call them over?
Nope. Nope.
I don't know why my comm badge isn't working, but didn't try that. And then we see Pulaski and Riker's DNA get stolen via tummy needle.
Yep.
I would not like this. Don't steal my DNA.
Yeah, but that's what they do. But I might give it to you.
That is what they do. Back on the ship.
But again, we're back to, you know, we were at the elective stage, you know, because there's how many people on the Enterprise? Like 400?
Like closer to 1,000.
Okay, then ask. There's got to be at least two who don't care if they give you your DNA. Picard should not have made a decision for the entire crew. He should have let them decide.
Yeah.
Because all we did was steal DNA from two people, it turns out.
Which will keep them good for like 50 generations or something.
And I don't understand that, but that's okay.
Yeah, listen, who cares? So back on the ship, Pulaski and Riker are just like hanging out in her office. And then Geordi's like, hey, you guys, quick question. What happened down there? And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I can tell when humans are lying. Aliens, not so much. Humans, every damn time. These guys are still human. They're fucking lying to my face.
Every time I asked where you were, some clone lied to me.
Yeah. He's so chill about it. It's like, you were lied to by everybody.
To the cloning.
Yeah, they're both like, oh, there are holes in our memory. And so they march out of there and they go down to the planet. The
cloning lab.
Yeah. Oh, before they do that, Pulaski does a scan and can tell that they're both missing epithelial cells, which make up a lot of different parts of the body. But she's like, they took parts of the stomach.
Because they're not differentiated?
Right. So presumably you can, yeah, I don't know. I've taken biology. I don't know. I never cloned a bunch of people.
Good to know. Good to know, Kelly.
But the idea that, because they didn't take that, like, the whole point is they didn't take that much.
Right.
And she can scan and be like, we're both missing, like, a handful of cells from our stomach lining. How? How can you tell? They didn't take a big chunk of your fucking stomach. You'd notice that.
Yeah, why didn't you notice the big hole in your stomach? That's what, your tummy.
Yeah. Why didn't you notice the pinprick of the tummy needle?
Your skin has a hole in it? Maybe you should have noticed that.
There's a hole in your uniform because they didn't remove those. Also, they're cloning your uniform because they took its DNA too.
Oh, now this is getting silly.
These guys should have just asked for a tour of the ship and then, like, worn gloves and just wiped their hands along all the handrails and then been like, we got all sorts of fucking DNA now.
Yep.
Let's go. Don't have to tummy needle anybody. So they go to the... They just get to the cloning room and they find some clones that I don't know if they're supposed to look like them or not. I guess it doesn't really.
The Pulaski one looked okay, but the Riker one, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, the Riker one, I'm like, who's that? And then he shoots it and I'm like, I guess it was you. But they kill. There are two clones. They kill them. Good thing they probably haven't stored DNA anywhere else. They should burn this building down.
And the Prime Minister comes in, murderers!
Yeah.
And Willem's like, no, you're a damn thief!
Well, this is when Pulaski's like, it wouldn't even fix your fucking problem. Stealing my DNA won't bring your honey back, she yells. We have a right to survive. Yeah. And she literally says, you don't need two people, you need breeding stock. It's humans. It's people you're talking about, Pulaski. Gross.
Well, I think she's back on. Yeah, they're back with the captain now.
So right. And they're discussing it.
Yeah, they'll be dead. They'll be dead in two or three generations.
Yeah.
And William says, I want all their cloning equipment examined to make sure they don't have any of the rest of our DNA. So he says, oh, we're going to have to confiscate your equipment. He says, oh, that's right. Get us with blackmail. Because now they're talking about the Breen Lloydian, these guys getting together.
Oh, yeah. And Deanna's also here. And she's like, can you blame them for stealing DNA? They're just trying to live. And everyone's like, shut up, Deanna. We don't care about that. And they're like, we can solve two birds killed with one stone. Yeah, I don't want these space Irish here. And they need to fuck. So
it's a match made in heaven. And this is without the Prime Minister. And Will says, well, unfortunately, it will have to be a shotgun wedding.
Yeah. So they have a meeting with the Prime Minister and Odell. And the Prime Minister's like, I am vomiting just looking at him. And Odell's like, whatever. I don't care. We can make this work. We don't give a shit.
We're hardworking people.
Yeah, we're basically nice, curious people. We are cartoons, but that's not our fault.
And we're happy to learn.
Yeah, you'd be lucky to have us, absolutely. Honestly. You guys seem like you suck, and we're cool.
Yeah,
and we will much. Fuck you. And the guy's like, I hate this. And at this point, they make a comment of like, you can't just be monogamous.
Yeah, monogamous marriage will not be possible for several generations.
Right. And so they suggest that every woman has to have a child from a different husband. They have to have three.
Yeah, they have to have three children by three different men.
Right, but they do say husbands. So they are developing the Denobulan form of intermarriage.
Okay, that's cool. I hadn't thought of that.
It's like, you know, you don't have to marry anyone you fuck. Actually, if none of you guys want to get married, I don't know what marriage is. But upon hearing that he's going to have to fuck at least three different women, Odell's like, I was into it before. I'm super into it now.
I think I could handle that.
Yeah. The Prime Minister's like, I want to die. I wish I were dead. And then they still make the deal because the episode's almost over. Because I gotta say, the DNA stealing did start with like 10 minutes left in the show. So they fucking shake hands. Yeah, my note says they agree or whatever. And then they go tell Brenda. They go to the cargo hold and the prime minister's like looking around. He's like, Straw? That lady's pregnant? And she's holding a goat.
He almost touches her tummy, but he stops himself. And she's going to let him.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, dude. Again, we don't care. And like he sees people laughing. He's like, I want to vomit about that. This is all too much. And so he wanders away. And this is, they come up and Brenna's like, I heard we're going to have to fuck so many dudes. Fucking idiots. You don't want to ask a group of people, huh? You just want to make decisions.
No, you know, she said, you know, yeah, you leave it to the women to correct all your mistakes. And Picard says, listen, we're going to a space station. You can stay with us. We'll put you off on this. You're the one who wanted a new home. We'll put you off. You can go live your life wherever you want to live your life. And she says, what? Leave my dad? And he's you can do that. And then he also says, but you know, if this is going to work, these people are going to need your strength and your guidance. And she says, damn. And then she says, three husbands, huh? And he says, yeah. And she goes, and what does he do again? Oh, he's the prime minister. Well, he's probably got more than two coins to rub together. Three husbands, huh? And off she goes to impress the prime minister.
Yep.
Okay. Here's my question.
The end. Yes. Tell me your question.
How do we know she's not already pregnant? She just fucked William.
Great question. She'll have four kids, I guess. They got Will's DNA anyway.
Yeah. Because you know what?
But it's the way we have children. It's the way he wanted.
But that's my question. So in Star Trek and, you know, all these starships, do we have something that we either take orally or a shot or something that makes us sterile until we want to have children? And it works for everybody except Trip Tucker?
Well, one, I bet they didn't have it in the NX era. Two, Trip did get impregnated by somebody else via rocks. Three, there is that. And it's, they talk about it very briefly in Deep Space Nine because there is a surprise pregnancy at one point in Deep Space Nine. And one of the people involved, that's the thing, both of them take birth control and one of them has been stressed out and forgot.
Oh, okay.
Well, and it's happens. Like, yeah, but if you're both taking it... What do you mean?
It only takes one.
But if the one person is taking it, that should cover the whole situation. So if you're both taking it, that should double cover it, except it doesn't.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't in this case.
Well, I hope she's pregnant with Will's child. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that'd be fine. And he'd be fine with that, because that's the way it's supposed to go. But no, Will probably takes his birth control all the time. Seriously? Will takes his sexual health very seriously.
Oh my God. I had a child and I'm so diminished because I had a child.
No, he'd think that was fine.
Okay.
He's
not
being
a father to that child? He'd think that was fine?
Well, that I don't know.
Yeah.
He might be like, I got to go see that kid. And then he'd go and there'd be an episode about it. And then he'd be like, that kid has three dads because they do live in sextuplet marriages or whatever the fuck. That kid has so much love in his life, but he's like, I'm still gonna write to him. I'll come see him sometimes. I don't think Will would be a bad dad. I don't think he's thought about it at this point in his life, but I think he'd be okay at it. But I think Will at this age is much more likely to be like, I don't gotta think about it because I have it locked down. I am not gonna be a dad. We are managing just fine.
Yeah.
I guess there's more than one surprise pregnancy in Trek, but there's not that many. And one of them does involve Klingons. We'll get to that one sooner than the other one, I think. So I can't speak to Klingon birth control, I guess. It is just yelling. I don't know. So that's up the long ladder.
Don't you dare come in me.
Just, it's a powerful sonic scream that blasts them back before they come. So the cum is not anywhere inside the body. It does make a mess. Crazy. What a thing.
Okay, I have another question.
By all means.
Okay, so do we hear any more about these two societies?
Not that I know of.
Is there any novels or anything about these two?
You know, that's a great question. Let me Google Bring Lloydie. Star Trek. Beta.
I'm still giggling.
Giggling at the Klingon idea of someone being fucking flung across the room by a scream.
Yeah, Klingon birth control.
Let's get... get these ads fucking out of here. Mm.
Scream at them, Kelly. Scream at them.
Let's see. The United Society took the name of the United Ficus Colony and was headed by both a Mariposan and a Bring Lloydie Prime Minister. Danilo Odell held the position of Bring Lloydie Prime Minister until his death sometime before 2367, following the end of the Redacted, and he was succeeded by his daughter, Brenna. However, the two groups remained distinct from one another and endured a significant degree of strain during the first decade following the reunion. SCEE book, Out of the Cocoon.
Oh.
And then the other thing they showed up in is in 2377, Quark traveled from Deep Space Nine to Ferenginar aboard a crowded transport ship, aboard which a Bring Lloydie vomited on him. And this is from a short story. And that's it. Those are the only times they show up.
Okay, so what was it? The Cocoon?
Out of the Cocoon, which is a Starfleet Corps of Engineer, like, e-novella. There's a whole series of these, which is about engineers.
Oh, okay.
So
it's not a book.
It's like a novella. No, it's an ebook. They might have, like, eventually printed them as, like, one big chunk. Because it was, like, I don't remember how many books. But yeah, it appears to all be about, it's all, this one, Out of the Cocoon, is all about, that looks like Brenna on the cover.
Oh, cool.
Revisiting these guys afterwards.
Yeah, because they're not going to come back and see her.
No.
Does she have William Riker's child with her?
I don't know. We'd have to read it and find out.
I think I'm going to read it.
What if next time it's your birthday and a episode looks bad, we instead read an ebook about the last bad episode we watched for your birthday week?
That'd be great.
It'd be very funny.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Yeah, there are multiple. This says omnibuses, and then it's just the titles. Whatever. We can figure that out later.
Okay.
Boy, there are a lot of these. But it's fine. They're just like, oh, you can tell a lot of stories about engineering. And it's true. You can. So what do you think of this episode?
Well, I put stupid. Yes, really dumb.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's not very good.
Kind of like the last episode we watched.
It's not as crazy as Wolf in the Fold.
Or Jack the Ripper made a return. Please. Right. No, God, it's not as crazy, but they, you know, this one's more offensive.
I mean, you know, I don't, as someone whose name is Kelly Houlihan, I don't get that offended about making fun of the Irish, because the Irish, like, in America, integrated into whiteness and are part of the fucking problem. So it's like, whatever, you know, but it's not great, but it's not like, it's not as offensive as it could be, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is just like, when you do something like this, it feels so unserious. Like, I'm not gasping because I'm offended, but I'm just like, this is stupid. Like, this is how much thought you put into your Irish alien, you know, your space Irish people, because they're not aliens, not really.
Yeah.
You know, much later in this series, we will visit a planet that was inhabited by Scottish people, and it is like fucking theme park Scotland over there, so I guess they don't stop doing this. That's a season 7 episode of the show, I think.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Maybe it's 6. Legendarily still bad episode.
Okay.
Well,
we'll get to it in about 3 years.
Oh, very exciting. It's closer in craziness to Wolf in the Fold than Up the Long Ladder.
Okay.
Because the thing about Up the Long Ladder is, like, nothing fucking happens. Like, the thing where the DNA gets stolen happens in the last, truly, 10 minutes of the episode, and they deal with it immediately, and then it's like, oh, you guys gotta get together. Why? The credits are coming. Like...
Well, but I think that's, you know, they started off together. I see no reason why they shouldn't be together.
Which is kind of Odell's thought. He's just like, whatever, we hung out before.
Right, but, you know.
This guy's like, I'm going to die.
Stop talking to me. I don't think anybody needs to have sex and children that doesn't want to have sex and children. I think that's
exactly
permissible.
Thank
as well.
You. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Except unless all the clones go, no, I don't want to have sex. You know, that's the problem. Now,
well,
can
listen,
clones really have sex and breed?
Of course.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
I mean, the thing about a clone is it's just a genetic double of the person. So if that person can have sex, I mean, unless you make modifications, and they do talk about, like, how did you keep from fucking?
No, yeah, I saw that.
And it's, like, punitive laws and, like,
drugs.
Yeah. But now we're just against it. Yeah, it's I
repugnant.
Mean, as an asexual person, I'm not shocked that Star Trek doesn't know what that is. At this point, Star Trek doesn't know what gay people are, and it'll take them a long time to figure it out. So I'm not like, huh?
Huh.
I mean,
they're in the future, Kelly. Shouldn't they have figured this out by now?
Oh, absolutely. But the writers were in 1988 or whatever.
Wow.
And stupid. They still could have figured it out by then. We all were around. We've always been here. But, you know, it took until Discovery to get a canonically gay character on the show. So, yeah, the fact that they're maybe not thinking about the asexual among us, not a shock, not surprised.
But not nice. Come on, guys. Do better.
No, it's not great. To just be like, none of you guys are all disgusted at the idea of sex. Too bad. You're going to have so much of it.
If that's
you
all we talk about die. Is sex, sex, sex. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. So yeah, no, it is a dumb episode. It's very silly.
Except for the Vulcan happens. Part. The Klingon part. You liked that part.
I did like, did you not like that part?
No, it was really cute.
It's cute, but it lasts like 2 minutes.
Again, I have to watch it on the phone or whatever. And so then I actually watched it, you know, before we recorded. And I went, oh, she went to get an antidote. Because, you know, things on the phone don't translate.
No, of course not. Because you're supposed to watch it on television.
Really?
Like, no offense to your process. Huh, okay. But well, it was whatever. Made to be on a TV that you looked at with your eyes.
Okay. Well, that last one, I appreciated just having it on the... on the laptop, because if I'd had that on the big TV, it would have scared me.
You think Wolf in the Fold would have scared
we
you?
We already talked about that. Yeah, they were just too big. The close-ups were too close.
You'd be like, why are their faces so huge?
Oh my God, get out of my living room!
It's not Jack the Ripper, it's just intense close-ups.
Yeah, no, it wasn't him. It was just all these other people. Oh, get off my
back
TV!
Back that camera up!
Exactly. I don't need to see up his nostril!
So yeah, this is not very good. I don't know if there's much else to say about it.
I think we've covered it. We had questions. We got answers.
Got answers, I guess.
Yeah.
We know there's an ebook about these people.
Yep.
We don't have any emails.
Okay.
But if you'd like to email us, you can do so at boldlytho@gmail.com. That's boldly, T-H-O.
You can also get at us on Twitter. And Kelly, try to tweet that sun. It looks great.
I will try to tweet the sun.
You can skip everything else.
You're right. Close my notebook, gotta reopen it. Next episode. We're talking about Deep Space Nine, Season 2, Episode 24. We're almost done with Season 2 of Deep Space Nine.
Mm.
The Collaborator.
The Collaborator.
I don't think this episode is stupid.
Oh, good. Good, good,
I don't know if it's like a real fun time.
Okay.
Which you might guess, because it's about collaborators. But,
Well, that could be Quark and anybody.
I mean, on Deep Space Nine, when they say collaborator, they mean something very specific. You know that. They mean someone who collaborated with the Cardassians during the occupation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
I'm going
to
make it about Quark. Quark is getting into bad something with somebody.
I mean, we're due a Quark episode. Yeah. The thing about how we do this show is that we go so long without a Quark episode. We're due. I think there's one early in season 3 that's a real hoot. So okay. We got it coming in the next couple of months.
Okay, good.
So
the Collaborator. Someone who worked with the
Cardassians during the occupation. Oh. I mean, you've seen this one before. We're still in the stretch of shows that, like, what, 2 years ago you and I watched to the end of Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
So we're still the end of season 2.
I see the Jem Hadar is coming up in a couple.
Yes, and that was months. The last one we watched. And Quark is in that one. He wears sunscreen in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A thing that happened since the last episode we recorded, but I didn't bring up on that episode, is the fact that we now know that Lower Decks is ending with season 5.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the fact that there will only ever be 50 episodes of Lower Decks, which is like 2 seasons of a 90s show. And I'm pissed. I was pissed anyway, but it sucks.
Yeah.
You know what else I read when this was getting announced? Because someone's like, is it a money thing? For the cost of one episode of Strange New Worlds, you can make a full season of Lower Decks.
Yeah, so then what's the problem?
I saw someone theorizing that because Paramount is trying to, like, get sold off, like, buy us, they're trying to close up loose ends because I guess people don't like it if you have ongoing shows.
It's like, that's stupid.
Yeah, I know. Listen.
Okay, whoever buys Paramount, bring Lower Decks back.
Well, last I saw, they were, like, courting HBO, like Warner Brothers, and we know what their fucking track record is right now with making things and then airing them. Bad. It's bad. They're a bunch of shitheads. So, yeah, I don't know. My fingers are crossed that Lower Decks will exist elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's the best one. Of all these new ones, it's absolutely positively, no questions asked, the best one. And, it deserves a run more in line with the 90s shows than any of the rest of these.
Yes.
I like Strange New Worlds, but Lower Decks is better than it.
I love Strange New Worlds, yeah.
And do you agree Lower Decks is better than it?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to agree, but...
No, but I like them both. I
think you do. Yeah. No, listen. They're the two good ones.
Yeah. You can get rid of all the rest of the shit. Just keep those going.
I mean, they have gotten rid of the rest of the shit. They're airing the surprise last season of Discovery Now. They threw Prodigy in the garbage. It's almost as if...
How much Picard was there? Just two seasons or was
three
it three?
Seasons. Mm. Yeah. Someday we'll get there.
Yeah, there was I just don't understand why, you know, they would cancel it. That's just stupid. Because, it's got to be popular, right? It's a great show.
Yeah, people like the show. People really like it.
Maybe we should just write in.
Do what they did before. See if we can save Trek.
I think we should try.
It's worth a shot. It won't hurt. Okay. They can't super cancel it.
Okay. Well.
So yeah, that season 5 will be airing in the fall. And that has me sitting here being like, we're almost halfway done with all of Lower Decks at this point.
Yeah. Well, we can start over and watch again.
I mean, you and I can watch it whenever.
We can watch it we're going back to Lower Decks because it's our favorite.
It's Mom's birthday week and the episode was bad, so back to Lower Decks.
No, I'm just saying, we can just keep covering it. Season 1, episode 1, Lower Decks. Here we go.
Oh, Lower Decks, Lower Decks. Yeah, so we'll see what fucking happens. They're a stupid company that doesn't know what they're doing. But yeah, anyway, just thought I'd bring that up on the air.
Yeah, we're bummed. So everybody start a letter writing campaign.
They also, like, recently there was an interview with Alex Kurtzman, Cursed Man. And he was just like, yeah, Star Trek has to avoid filler episodes. And it's like, hey, motherfucker. For a long time, that was all the episodes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what makes Star Trek great. And then I watched Up the Long Ladder, and I'm like, well, they weren't all good. But that is the risky run. There are more good episodes. Well, I don't know if that's... I think there are more good episodes of Star Trek than bad.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, you want the low-key whatever episodes. Discovery is a show with no filler episodes. And famously, it sucks. The best episode of Discovery is quote-unquote filler.
Mm.
So yeah, whatever. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't let him run Star Trek. Too late. It's very possible we're about to go back into a Star Trek fallow period. Mm. Where none of the shows are going. Which will give you and I a chance to catch up, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, didn't they start all this after we started?
Yeah. I mean, Discovery was around, I think.
I think it was, too, but just barely.
But it was like, yeah, we were into season... Season 2 might have been airing.
Maybe.
When we started.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost at episode 300, and we do this weekly, so that's been a long time.
Yeah, no, listen, we've been at this a long time, and we are still in season 2 of a number of shows.
Yes, we are.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the Star Treks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem. It's just the fact.
Well, I had some company over on Sunday, mm-hmm. and we were talking briefly about the podcast, and then I was trying to show them our wedding video, which is on... I couldn't get my iPad to work, so I went out and got my computer, And, of course, my computer was already on. So when I hooked it up to the TV, up pops my Star Trek spreadsheet. Because he said, well, how do y'all watch it? You know, I said, oh, it's complicated. And then I said, no, well, now you can see how we watch it. We watch a TOS and then a TNG and then a Deep Space Nine, then a Voyager, then an Enterprise, then a Disco, and Lower Decks, and a Stranger Worlds. And then we start over again.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. It's but mostly he saw, just silly.
But he saw my review. Stupid. Yes. Really dumb. I said, yes, that was the review.
Yeah, it was a bad episode. Wolf in the Fold was stupid. You understand.
Yeah, so, and he does. He's like, I really got to listen to y'all's podcast. So he's trying.
Give it a listen. Do you want to hear about Klingons getting blasted off of their partner before they can come?
That's right. That we provide that service here.
You want boldly, though. Anyway, next week, the collaborator.
Okay.
Until then, engage.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
The music they play in the episode Shore Leave of TOS when Kirk fights his Irish enemy from
yes.
It's the same music, practically.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
Like, if it's not the same, it's from the same music library. We've made no progress in the last 30 years. No,
you're right. Now that you say that. What was his name?
Finnegan? Who fucking knows?
Yeah, okay.
He was Irish McGee, and he was evil.
It almost seems like it was Odell also.
God, was it Odell? You know what? Let's look it up. Shore Leave. I truly just thought of it. TOS. IMDb. Who's in this episode? Do-do-do-do-do. He's just called Finnegan.
Oh, okay. Finnegan.
I'm mad I remembered Finnegan.
You should be.